Hello and welcome to Off the Cuff with me, FPL Mez. This is the first episode of my new podcast to welcome the 24-25 Fantasy Premier League season. In this episode, I host a Q&A panel with some incredible Aussie FPL community content creators who will be sharing insights, tips to help us get prepared for the start of the new season. As the name suggests, the show is laid back, unscripted, so grab your drinks and snacks and enjoy the episode. Gosh, it came around really quick. So first of all, I should sort of say hello, shout out to everyone that's in the YouTube chat. And also, for the first time, this is going to be uploaded as a podcast as well. So I've had a lot of people ask about an audio version. And of course, as you know, I have been doing spaces for quite some time, all of last season. That's where it all started. So it started with Twitter spaces. Halfway through that journey, Twitter became X. Spaces sort of continued. I went on the YouTube journey as well, concurrently. And it just makes sense to upload it as a podcast. So to welcome to all the podcast listeners as well who are going to be listening. So thank you for being there. Thanks for being in the chat. I've got a great panel of amazing Aussie legends over here from the Australian FPL community. So hi, Quinton. I'm gonna just call you Q, actually. And Peterson and who I call Pete, and Ryan, you're just Ryan. So hi guys, how are you all doing?
Yeah, no, I'm going good. It's almost the finish line for the start of the season, if that makes sense. So it's been quite a busy 2 weeks. If anyone's tuned to our channel, just been smashing out podcasts and content and, you know, making our new Fantasy Amateurs Attacking Upside formula deep in the basement of the podcast station here. So,
yes,
it's been quite a busy few weeks here, but now doing good, excited.
Awesome. Ryan, over to
okay,
you.
I'll go. Just looking forward to it for a new season, fresh start, basically. Can't forget about all of last season. But yeah, just like you, it's been very busy with content-wise and just smashing out like guest interviews. I had one with Pete last week as well. And then team selections and just losing my voice, just talking to people in the chat effectively. But yeah, really good.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't believe how quickly the off-season gone. It feels like it's been a long wait, but at the same time, it's gone really quick. I think because of the Euros flowing into the Olympics and now flowing, the season's only a few days away. And on one hand, I feel prepared. The other hand, I feel grossly underprepared at the same time. So
yeah,
the next few days will be, I think, a bit of a roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I switched on to FPL. In all seriousness, I switched on to FPL on Saturday morning over here. Yeah, and it's only Tuesday. I just got caught up in sort of life, work, and just everything in between, basically. Had a couple of months off, had a nice break, went traveling around Japan, went to the UK, I think I was away for about 7 weeks or something like that. It was amazing. But I came back to just absolute chaos of work and just things going on. And because it's winter as well, I was sort of like, I just want to hibernate. I don't really want to go anywhere. Don't really want to do anything. And so I just immersed myself into work. And then got a message from a friend couple of days ago, like before the weekend, and they were like, "Oh, how's your draft coming along?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, you know, I'll get around to it. It's plenty of time." And they were like, "Starting next week." So I was like, "Ah shit, better get around to just getting back into it." And honestly, I auto selected my team when the game came out, and then just didn't look at it. Just haven't sort of thought about it. It's so funny. I have this thing where if I want to learn about a topic, I usually write a talk about it and give it as a talk or something at a meetup or something like that, especially if it's work related or something. And so I was like, you know what? The only thing I can do is just commit myself to starting up my channel again or starting up, the show and just pick a date and just grab some people to jump on there and have a chat. And then I can work backwards from there. And so even like the last couple of days, they've just been really busy with work. But I was like, nah, I've got this to do. This will be fun. It'll be great. So thank you so much for agreeing to come on and being, you know, being the first cabs off the rank for me on my show this season. So those that are tuning in for the first time, so off the cuff, the name was made up very, very quickly because these conversations, or I guess my my show is pretty much unprepared, unscripted. And I don't really do that much prep. This is probably the first stream that where I have done a little bit more prep, and there's some questions that we're going to go through. But usually it's, unprepared, pretty much a video audio diary of my season. I managed to do at least like one-ish stream last season every week. A lot of fun doing it and sort of continue. I thought it'd be great to sort of continue doing it as well. So thank you to everyone that has supported along the way. There's a whole bunch of people in the chat as well. So I'm just going to like, hopefully some of them will come up on the screen. And that's the other thing. Like I opened up YouTube and tried to set up the stream and everything. And I was like, oh crap, this is hard. What did I do? How did I do this before? You know, this is really how do I do this all over again? I had to like relearn everything. And then obviously there's been some feature changes along the way as well. So I was like, oh crap. I don't know if you guys found that. Did you all sort of were you creating content along the way during the break as well? Like obviously you've been, you know, podcasting, but was it throughout or just towards the end?
I sort of had a fair big break. I was actually doing Euros Fantasy, which just turned into a heap. So I quit that as well, 3/4 of the way through. And then sort of just took a bit of time off. And then this preseason friendly started rolling around. So I just found myself watching them. And then I thought, oh, I might just do a preseason thread and keep, you know, people up to date, because a lot of people are obviously quite busy and can't watch preseason friendlies. Whereas, you know, being a parent, you have lots of, sitting around watching movie time. So I was just watching preseason friendly. So started doing that. And then I didn't really make a draft till maybe a week after the game opened. I sort of was just like, oh, I'll get to it. And
yeah,
but yeah, it was, it's been full steam ahead the last 3 to 4 weeks. I feel like I'm running out of time, but we managed to get most of our preseason episodes done. So it's been good.
Yeah. Nice. How about you, Ryan?
But I haven't really taken a break ever since like season ended, effectively. I've just been from that to Euro Fantasy. And then I think Euro Fantasy just carried us straight into the game launching. And then from there, it's just been like FPL content. So no real break this time. But it's been good. Yeah.
I'm not surprised, because you're probably the only person I know in our community in Australia that is up at all sorts of hours creating content, watching Pete football.
Pete says I don't sleep, so
yeah,
I don't
Ryan's know. Ryan's a vampire. I'm convinced. He hasn't slept since the COVID break when there was no football on for those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That was
the last time I slept. Prove it or deny it.
Oh, no, yeah. That's great. I love your content, though. Love your streams. I'll ask you guys to do a bit of a plug-in towards the end of the stream there. But how about you, Pete? You and Andrew? Yeah,
you were talking about getting back into the swing of things. So this off-season, we were approached by the Sports Social Podcast Network to join their platform. So there was a lot of back-end admin stuff for me, and I'm pretty thorough with like records of everything, but changing iTunes over, which was everything was set up by my old co-host Dubs, and I for the love of me I could not switch over the iTunes account stuff over, and it kept asking like, you know, those random like questions that you get asked, like what was your first car, and
oh no,
the one admin question was like, where did your parents meet, and I couldn't get hold of Dave, like he's a...
But does anyone answer those correctly? Because I don't.
Well, my friend's parents are from the UK. And so I'm just typing in all these different answers, and like after about 2 or 3, you just get denied and you have to wait an hour. And I'm trying all this, I'm trying here. I'm like, where did he, like, you know, where has he lived? And yeah, in the end, I guessed it. I got it in the end. So after a phone call with him. So we tried a few different ones, but yeah, so that was a bit of fun. Fun for a few hours.
Oh, that's so funny. Love it. I think I'm hoping... So I haven't actually uploaded anything to as a podcast yet. So this will be the first thing that I upload. So it's going to be interesting. I haven't, you know, I have set it up. So I've, you know, using something to just kind of get set up in it, like the platforms side of things. But I haven't uploaded anything. So it's going to be interesting. And I thought what would be really good to do, and something I probably should have done if I was a bit more prepared. So if I hadn't opened up the app on Saturday morning or tuned into, I even hadn't opened up X, right? I hadn't looked at, are we calling it X? I'm calling it X. I'm just going to start calling it X. RD.
I'm stuck in the stone age. Well, I'm not changing. For nobody.
I get confused whether to call it Twitter or X when you talk about it as a post. So, you know, I say a tweet, and then I start calling it Twitter all of a sudden again. So,
I missed that question. I was updating my MySpace page. So, what was that?
I just feel like it's confusing. Like, they're like, where do you get your content? Oh, X. What are you talking about? What do you mean your X?
Your X? I know. Elon was not thinking this through very well. But I hadn't even opened up Twitter. I hadn't looked at that. I had messages, you know, thank you guys. Like some of you reached out as well saying, hey, are you okay? Everything all right? And yeah, honestly, I was just all consumed in being back in Australia, getting over the jet lag after being away for a couple of months. And oh gosh, it's been so cold as well. I feel like I've been spoilt living in Australia. It's only like 15 to 20 degrees over here in Sydney, but it's so cold. I've even got my heated blanket on at the moment. Anyway,
like as a male, we're at least like 10 degrees hotter for some reason, because every single person I know that is like, you get in like even a bit of equipment at work and a lady's been in it and the heater's on. I'm like, why is the heater on? It's not that cold outside.
Oh no, these apartments,
it's like
these apartments are not built for, you know, the cold. It's so bad. But I love Colm's message here. So he said, you'll look happy. How many weeks do you think that will last? For me, depends on game week 2, as I'm going no Haaland till game week 20, game week 6 or 7. Yikes. Yeah. Yeah. So what are we doing today? So today we're going to do a bit of questions and answers that we have prepared. So these were some questions that had come up in conversations I've been having, but also curated through the FPL community as well. And so I'll pop them up on the screen and we'll sort of go through those. Look, the conversation today, I guess, between us is very much pre-season kickoff and, you know, the scramble and the hustle of getting to, you know, the deadline day. So deadline for us, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. Or was it 3:30 in the morning? Something like that, right? I only looked yesterday and I was like, that's shit.
3:30.
Yeah, yeah. So I imagine there's going to be all the presses and last minute news and all of that. Luckily, it's 3:30 in the morning in on a Saturday for us anyway. But I'm not looking forward to, like, part of me is like, I'm not waking up. There's no way. But the other part of me is like, I should probably wake up and just have a look at what's going on. Because last season I had an awful start to the season and I just don't know if I can deal with that all over again. So I want to give myself the best chance to, yeah, be informed. Like I didn't get I've still, you know, Gabriel Gate, right? So I didn't get the memo. I was in the UK at a meetup on the day of the deadline as well, which is insane. I didn't get the memo. So yeah, I'm going to probably, yeah, get up, early hours or stay up or something. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, to make sure I catch some of the news and everything there. But so look, today's stream is very much about, the last minute hustle, the scramble to the deadline and questions, that we would be asking ourselves, but also things that we can do to sort of prepare towards, you know, getting to the finishing line of this week, basically. I feel like a lot of people are tuning in this week as well, like a lot of people like me especially. So this is selfishly more for me. So I'm getting all the best and tips and advice from you guys who have been playing FPL a lot longer than I have. but also others like me as well who are turning, switching on the app for the first time, tuning into Twitter, looking at YouTube. So hopefully we can help those guys out as well. And I hope you guys can help me as well. So look, we'll kick off with the first question. I'll get it up on the screen as well so everyone can see it at the same time. I'll mention again for those that are listening, on the podcast later, I will read out the questions as well. That's the other thing that I have to remember for a podcast, that everyone's going to be listening and I can't sort of just point to the screen and say, hey, can you answer this question over here? So for everyone that is listening, how do you allocate your budget across different positions? And does this change in the days before the deadline? So obviously we've got a slightly new format. Pricing has been really interesting as well. So very competitive, pricing around some of the premium picks and some of the, the cheaper sort of picks as well. The cheaper picks are not as cheap as well. Pete, we'll start with you. How's it going on from a planning side for you, especially? So, but from a budget and position allocation, how's that been?
From a budget perspective, I know I usually try to be balanced with the squad, like not going too like big at the back or like pumping everything into the midfield. And a lot of these lessons you sort of learn over the years, that's sort of, trial by failure almost over the years. But this season I'm going in with probably playing like a 3-4-3, I think, for a majority of this season. So it's sort of, covering those points and, where do I want my premium money allocation and not stretching myself like too thin in that midfield, but sort of being able to be a bit more flexible as well, because things change weekly in the Premier League and FPL. So having that ability, those price points of having a couple, 6.5, 7, those type of players. So I find that's usually that's probably the position I think probably has the most variance, especially at the start of the season. Like someone always emerges at the start who catches fire, and it's always easier to have maybe one of those allocations where you can just be a bit more flexible. But definitely trying not to pump everything into one side of the field.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Q?
I think this season it's probably not as much of an issue just because there's such good value at that 5.5 price point in the midfield there, where you can kind of still spread out your team enough where previous seasons you had to either go big at the back or, cheaper at the back and big in the middle or big up top, where now you can kind of almost go half big up top, half big in the middle and half big up top. So I think the price point this year has actually made FPL quite exciting because you've, I think there's at least maybe 6 to 7 really good options at 5.5 million this season that are actually viable options. So for me, I think it's just going to be a matter of trying to pick which 5.5 million assets are going to be the right ones heading into deadline, which, I think I've changed my assets maybe 3 or 4 times. So there'll probably be another few times before deadline.
But just to add to that, I think we also need to, when you look at your question in terms of allocating budget, I think over the last, let's say, couple of days, I've seen the FPL community go from, we start with Haaland and Salah, and we start with Haaland and Salah because it's easier to go down than go up.
Yeah.
And then we've switched for after one Liverpool preseason game to, okay, we don't need Salah, let's go to Jota now. So what's the plan? So then that's where you start going into, okay, price allocation. Who is your middle ground between the Jota and Salah? It's like 5 million gap, right? You can't go all the way down. You probably need like that 10.5 million midfielder or 10 million, 8.5 million midfielder range. Mm-hmm. Maybe be the middle ground of like going up or down. And then that's where you get into the conversation of the likes of Osaka, Heung-Min Son, Bruno Fernandes, Martin Odegaard as like price point players, where the flexibility to jump in that midfield range. The same thing with like Haaland as well, right? I asked Combe yesterday, what are you going to do if Haaland like smashes it in the first couple of weeks? He was like, just basically cry and play the wild card effectively. But
yeah. So
you need to consider all of those as well. when making your to get off to a good start, because we're picking players now and we're picking players based off preseason, and like Q said, eventually there'll be like a bandwagon that appears, and you want to be able to get onto that, but you also need to be in a you have to be in a decent position in terms of price point to not get like too many moves done as well to try and get to that player.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of moves, there's like 5 transfers that we can roll now as well, which is, again, you know, I think about it and think, wow, okay, that's like a mini wildcard each time. I mean, we always thought about 2 free transfers as a mini wildcard, right? But now we've got, you know, the opportunity to jump on and off of players a lot more efficiently. And I feel like hits are pretty much null and void now. If you plan things right, I mean, you know, if you plan things right, you can avoid hits altogether. Like last season, I think I managed 12 hits, which is almost what 5 times less than what I had in my first season. So, which is pretty impressive by my standards anyway. It just means that you're probably not needing to take too many hits. So you can have like a mini wildcard a few times, right? So you can actually even more than a mini wildcard. It's like, 5 free transfers is a lot. So I feel like you can jump on and off of players. But like with last season again, so with me, I brought in Salah at the beginning of the season. I took Salah out and decided to change it up and, you know, go elsewhere. And then it was really difficult for me to bring Salah back in, and unless I took a couple of hits, you know, to do that. But now I feel like, okay, even if I went without one of them, I could probably just wait a week, wait 2 weeks or whatever, see how it goes, ride it out, and then easily do that without breaking my team too much as well. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting in practice, I think.
You reckon, a question for you guys, that you can almost use the wild card as a second free hit chip, because technically if you've banked 5 transfers, you do the wild card and keep maybe 5 or 6 picks in that sort of wild card that you'd like to keep. You could then change 5 players out the next week if it didn't work out, and it's almost like a free hit.
Yeah.
You could, but will you realistically get to 5 free transfers?
No.
I'm trying. Me and Damo actually have a game going this season that who can get to 5 transfers first.
Oh, good idea. Good idea. I don't think I'll manage that at the beginning of the season. I think it's a little bit later that where I'll probably get into the groove of it. I think the first sort of 6 game weeks, I think like we've got a couple of questions later about sort of strategy and stuff like that. But I think that it's possible. It just comes down to, yeah, you know, how we set up right as well. Moving on to the next question. So I should probably mention to the chat as well, and everyone that's listening, that we're going to run through a bunch of questions. And if there's any contextual questions that you have to the question that you have on up on the screen, please feel free to ask those. Anything sort of team specific or player specific, and you know, we'll take some Q&A right at the end of the stream as well. So we're going to run through some of these questions just to prepare for the deadline. So the next question's around how do you balance taking risks with playing it safe in your initial squad setup? I'll go to you, Q.
I think I'm looking at maybe early on in this season now, especially if we just mentioned about the rolling over the transfers. I think you can probably take the risks early on this season. And we've seen, obviously, I mentioned the 5.5 million assets. It might even be going Jota over Salah early on and then taking that risk, because we saw Jota last season when he starts, he could easily bang out 3 goals. So I feel like he can probably take the risk in doing stuff like that, or maybe like a fallen asset like a Rashford, for instance. I still think early on you can probably go the risk, the fixtures are there. So I think, this season I think it's probably the time to maybe take the risk early on, just because there are a lot of good options, a lot of unknown about the players coming back from Euros. So, yeah, I think this season more than the rest, you can probably early on take those risks, and then if, you know, depending on what happens, then play it safe sort of in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more like sword versus shield type picks, effectively. So depends on like if you're covering your bases with certain players, it's fine. But risk, like I agree with you, you probably can take a few risks. I've got, now, like you mentioned Rashford, I've got him in my team at the moment against popular opinion. But that's one potential risk. It could work out. It could backfire.
Yeah.
I've got the likes of Jacob Murphy and Lewis Hall, both who maybe are going kind of under the radar. But I do think they will start for Newcastle based off just like preseason, how they've been doing really well. Kwanzaa from Liverpool. Another, it's just like, I'm like, okay, I think this guy will start for Arnestad because he likes a ball-playing defender, which Konate isn't really much of one. So those are like the small risks I'm taking. Now, obviously, when we mentioned previously in terms of allocation of budget and everything, there are the sideways moves like Hall and Kwanzaa, both like 4.5 defenders, can switch to maybe another 4.5. There are like, quite a lot of 4.5 options in defense as well that I can switch to sideways if I wanted to. With Rashford, it's a bit more harder because there's no real 7 million option. You probably have to go like downwards because most of my budget is kind of spent, so I can't really go upwards as well unless I sell someone else. But then you have the plethora of like 5.5 options where you can go downwards significantly as well if you wanted to. So just depends on like how many risks. And also Oscar Bob, a lot of people are pretty high on that as a City option. That's probably a risk, maybe not, I don't know. It's a 2-game-week punt, and then after that you kind of see, for 5 million, is it really a risk? You just put him as your 8th midfielder or something.
Yeah, exactly, agree. Yeah, how about you, Pete?
Yeah, there's definitely room for risks because that's what makes the game fun, really, especially heading into the early game weeks, because we have nothing to fall back on, just preseason games. And this preseason's been barely compromised, where a lot of the popular players are the successful players, and they're all playing, you know, national team football. So a lot of them have only just recently featured for their clubs. So we don't have that base of information to fall back on. And also, like, in terms of clubs like Chelsea, Liverpool, like, new management there. So what are they doing? And, you know, in regards to Chelsea, we were joking before we went to air, but they've got like 48 players. Like, how do you, you know, shut out the noise and try and find out what's worthwhile? But, you know, in the past, I think I've maybe gone a little bit too risk heavy. I remember the season Timo Werner came to the league, like, he was priced great. So he was a very popular asset to start that season. But also, Kai Havertz had come to Chelsea, and, you know, because I watch a lot of like Bundesliga and Serie A, I was so excited for all these players. I put them all in my side, but not thinking that there is usually a, you know, there's a bit of a getting to like, getting used to the league period for a lot of players other than Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
So it's trying not to go a little bit too heavy like that, you know, give players a chance, because then there's always the opportunity to get them.
Yeah, agree. There was a couple of questions that sort of came up. So from Ash, hey Ash, great to have you in the chat. For why does this discussion, heavy hitters plus cheap enablers, who should play OR more balanced to cover price points? Or more, sorry, not OR. I was looking at that overall rank there for a moment.
it depends. Or. Right? Because, cheap enablers. I was looking at my midfield. I was like, it's a very real possibility to have like 3 midfielders at like the 5.5 million range. Very possible. But then I was telling myself, probably also not a smart idea to do that. Just in case I need to go, like, I need to like go upwards in terms of 7.5, 8 million midfielders. It's quite a bit of a jump. That's where I'm like, okay, maybe even though it looks so good on paper, like, you can have Emil Smith Rowe, you can have Oscar Bob.
Yeah.
You can also even put Jacob Murphy if you want there.
And so yeah, Rodgers. Yeah.
Exactly, Rodgers. But I'm like, ooh. Is it smart though? That's the question.
Yeah, that's where I'm really stuck on that as well. So at the moment, like, I've got a draft that has Salah, Haaland in there. So I'm sort of like, okay, shield, you know, with a bit of that. But also, like, I did a few drafts without Salah, without Haaland, without you know, at least one of them. There's, you know, I'd be insane to do without both of them. Although I think there are a couple of drafts out there that don't have Salah or Haaland, and they look insane. I just think that there's going to be a lot of, you know, obviously benching headaches, you know, with that. But you're right. Like, when you look at the minutes at the moment, and I think, you know, the next couple of game weeks, like the first few game weeks are going to be where we find out, right? So Oscar Bob, for instance, 5 mil, is that a risk? Maybe, maybe not. We know Pep Roulette, all of that, could be a minutes risk there. But even like your Rodgers and your you know, ESRs, and you know, they're all sort of around that 5 to 5.5, like, so 5.5 mil. They're really great picks, and you're right, you can easily have like three of them if you wanted, if you really wanted, like, one of the Arsenal attackers, for instance, if you wanted a Saka or a, in fact, if you, I think the premium, the next level down, you've got your Son, you know, Foden, Saka, who am I missing? I feel like there was a third one there. Palmer. Yeah. So if you're going for a Haaland, one of those four, and Salah as well, then yeah, you could fill up the rest of the team with your, you know, 4.5 to 5 mil and, you know, get your cheaper sort of forwards in as well. It's possible. But yeah, I feel like the first sort of five game weeks, even, you know, three game weeks, that's where we're going to find out the most, right?
Yeah, see, I've got a nice little analogy that I think it's pretty fitting, is when you go to Audi, they've got the Audi version of the Magnum ice creams. There's about four different flavors. you want to try them because you want to save money so you can upgrade that 2 minute steak to a nice steam rack. And then they might turn out really good, or it might just be worth it going to the premium option and getting the brand name. So I liken that to FPL, where, you know, you've got Jota, who's a lot cheaper than Salah.
Yeah.
Is he going to outdo you, Salah? Well, maybe, but also, what's that helping you do elsewhere? So a lot of people got the Vardiol and the Poro and possibly maybe a Trippier at the back there. So I think that's probably the best thing about FPL this season, is there's so many different varieties.
Yep.
And people, I think I've seen drafts about Haaland and Salah, which my offsider on the podcast has at the moment, which I've said, yeah, good luck. But there's also ones where people have gone sort of just one, or if they've gone none, and they've went like Palmer, Watkins. So I think there's this season, it's probably the best thing, is there's so many different options, and no option is a bad option because we don't really know anything at the moment. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's probably the best, the most excited I've been for a season of FPL in a while.
I think it's helped by the fact that a lot of the big name players have not had a proper preseason. So like you mentioned, those 4-10 million players.
Yeah.
Out of that, Saka, Palmer, and Foden. And we know Foden is not going to start game week one. Saka and Palmer have had very little preseason, although they might still start. And Arsenal's fixtures at the opening, like opening six, are also a bit tricky. So it's like the fixtures and the lack of preseason for some of the big names has made it like very open, which is pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, and Colm had a similar question. Sorry, Pete. Colm had a similar question around, you know, who the players that may not start. And, you know, he mentioned that Watkins will be gone from my final team, and Gordon may well become Jota for a few weeks. The Eze Man City rumors make him a worse asset in my opinion. Sorry, Pete.
Oh, I was just going to say, there's a fair few fallen assets this season as well, which makes it intriguing. So, you know, getting Bruno Fernandes at 8.5 million is just absolutely wild if you look at, you know, the player that he can be, and then Rashford at 7.0. But then, you know, you're looking at City assets, Grealish, like, he's probably going to get good minutes to start the season. He's heavily underpriced from what he can do. So, yeah, I feel like there's another aspect as well of a lot of underperforming assets last season and underperforming teams that are sort of giving them decent price points this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree. Moving on to the next one. So how many differential players do you include to try and gain an early advantage? So we touched on that ever so slightly. Are you thinking about those types of things when you're organizing your squad and, you know, you're doing the planning? Like, I'm not actually looking at how many, you know, teams have selected this player. at least, you know, that initial planning sort of stage, I'm not really looking at that at that moment. But I think perhaps towards the end of the deadline, so by Friday in my case, I might then start looking at two or three positions, usually in, you know, the defense, midfield, and, you know, less so sort of forward position, because it kind of, you know, sorts itself out to some extent. I mean, I think the combination is dependent on, you know, where you're moving the budget around. But I only look at like one or two positions, and they're usually the enablers, the cheap ones, which ones have, you know, everyone gone for or not gone for. But yeah, how much do you factor that in? Ryan, I'll go to you.
Last season, I thought about it a lot, mainly because the template was strong. Usually, ahead of preseason, the template is always pretty strong. This season might be slightly different. Maybe pricing, euros, all of that plays into part of it as well. And when you say differential players, you don't have to go like a low team selected by percentage. It doesn't have to be like a player who's owned very lowly. Because last season, a lot of people went Gabriel, for example, start of the season. So I switched and I went Saliba. That was my way of targeting differential. Kind of worked on my side. But that was one way I approached going differential. It was not necessarily fully, like the player himself is not necessarily like fully differential, but it's just you're still covering the Arsenal defense, but getting a slightly different player compared to what the Masters are going. This season, I haven't really thought about it. I feel like this season, I've seen so many different drafts that are varying, like in different spectrums, that I'm like, yeah, it's probably anyway. The template is going to be a bit more weaker this time. Five free transfers. Okay, no one's going to get to five, but majority could get to three or even four potentially. And that could make the template, or the like one single template might not happen. You might see a couple different templates potentially. So I haven't really thought about it that much this time.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Pete?
If I'm tossing up maybe between two players that I really want to get in and I still can't decide, I'll kind of maybe look at the ownership just to go, right, this person might be 14%, this person might be 6%. And I go, well, I feel like there's still enough upside that I can go the 6.5% one, and I'm not unhappy because I want them in my team as well. So that's probably the only time I kind of will look at it at the start of the season. It probably doesn't get until maybe halfway through the season when you start looking at where you're ranked and what you want to do, what moves you want to do. Then you kind of look at it a bit more. But I think maybe 3 to 4 to start the season. But I feel like this season's probably going to be a lot more because there's that many options.
Yeah, I feel this season's different. Like Ryan touched on previously, we've had such a strong tempo because of the way the game's been priced. But that's drastically changed this season, so it's not necessarily like we have that template we can go to as our reference point this season. And so it feels like probably all four of us have different strategies this season with, you know, what our drafts look like at the moment. So really that's differential in itself. Like some people will have the Haaland Salah drafts, others will have one. It could be Salah or could be Haaland's. Like you touched on before, like Damo is starting without none, but you know, it's all.
There you go.
Yeah. I generally like, I don't know, sort of that mid range, that 6.5, 7. I know I touched on it a bit before, but that's usually where you can have a bit of fun. Like historically, the last few seasons, like I've had a bit of success starting. Like last season, I started with Jota, and I think that sort of bared a lot of fruit. I think game week 2, they played Brentford and he had an amazing game. And a few seasons ago, I started with Ferran Torres. And that season, the big hype preseason was Saito Benrahma at West Ham. He'd had an amazing preseason, was super popular in the templates. I didn't go that way. I went with Torres, and like game week 1, it destroyed me. But game week 2, Torres had 2 goals and an assist and like outdid that. And so it was able just to sort of, it was a slight dip, but then, you know, that was able to carry on. And then he was flavor of the month. So there's always players out there. It's just trying to work out which one fits your style best.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
Damo's not going to admit it though, Pete. The only reason he's doing it is so he can put Bowen on his side. So.
Yeah, of course.
Bowen.
That's Fulton. Right. He's a Hammers. Yeah.
We have selected too many West Ham players.
Too good. All right, we'll move on to the next question. So, slightly longer one. How do you decide whether to make last-minute changes to your team with the influx of information in the days leading up to the season opener? So I am a sucker for this. So part of me is like, do I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, have a look at what's going on in the last sort of half an hour, make some last minute changes? And how much, you know, do I get influenced by everything that's like, so in my case, obviously I only tuned in on Saturday. And so for me, it feels like an influx of information. I think this was my question. How much do you change your team? So I did a first draft. I've only saved maybe two more drafts since then. I think I shared one of them on Twitter as well. And I don't see myself changing too much, but yeah, does that sort of creep into your sort of thought process? Q, I'll go to you on that one.
Yeah, like I said, like with the influx of preseason games, I think there was one stage there was at least maybe 20 in about a 2-day period where if you're taking that in, you kind of need to try filter it because you can get quite excited watching some of these players score goals. And like me, I had to get out of my system. I had to make heaps and heaps of drafts till I was kind of set on a core of my draft. And then gradually, as I've worked towards the deadline, you know, I'm now looking at maybe only changing two players out of the side. So I feel like it helps to kind of go a bit frantic and make lots of changes. But then sort of as you're gradually getting towards the end, sort of making less and less changes, and then you're sort of setting your team. But obviously, there's always that frantic rumours that head before deadline and people are up and, you know, trying to get onto the server and making last-minute transfers. But I feel like there's enough sort of information out there at the moment that you can kind of make those type of decisions, and it's not going to be as frantic this year compared to previous years.
Yep. Yep. Pete? Ryan?
I was just going to add that, yeah, it's probably just trying to get the latest press conferences from the managers. And I know you touched on it before, Mira, but that's what killed a lot of us, especially in the Southern Hemisphere last season. So I remember waking up in the morning, and I think I started last season with John Stones, and only to discover when I woke up, I think the first game was City Burnley, that, oh, John Stones is actually injured. So that information would have been handy. Yeah. And then, yeah, the whole Gabriel versus Saliba stuff. So yeah, a lot of us probably have players in our squads that have question marks. So all preseason I've had Ollie Watkins in my side, and now that I haven't thought too much about it because he's, you know, such a proven track record, but because he hasn't featured in the last couple friendlies and not even in the squad, now it's a matter of, you know, trying to decide, like, working out the information I have to, do I actually want to start this player? Because on the long run, of course, Ollie Watkins is going to be a great asset. Like, he's going to play, but is he going to play game week one? So I think having my decision made up, probably for us here, it's probably going to have to be by Friday night.
Because
I don't want to be waking up at 3:30 a.m. trying to, you know, doom scroll, you know, press conferences and try to make that decision at the last minute.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. Ryan, did you have anything else to add to that?
No, it's like, I think when the game started, there was hardly any changes because no information effectively. Last week, there were quite a bit of changes. Like, the team changed quite a bit after like every stream I did based on the feedback I got effectively. And it's got to a point where a majority of the players are kind of set. Like, I like the players I see. It's just those one or two spots where I'm like, okay, do I go for Rashford or do I go for Eze? But I'm put off by Eze by the whole rumors. So now maybe in the lead up of the next couple of days, we might get some information on that could put a lot of people away from Eze if they think he's going to move.
Yeah.
If they think he's going to start, maybe they'll keep him. So like those one or two moves are the ones where I'm like, okay, I'll wait and see. And that's mainly like a 50-50 call in terms of like preference and whatnot. I think everyone else should be kind of fine in terms of players. It's just like your Anthony Gordon's, do you expect him to start or not? Eze, will he get a move? Will he not get a move? If you start with him, come game week three, by the time the transfer window is closed, is he still at Crystal Palace?
Yeah.
But I think most of the team is kind of set. Once you've settled on a formation you like to play, then everything like kind of falls into place.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I just opened up my app to have a look at what was the team that I've selected, you know, this morning. I think I was like playing around with it. And so interestingly, the only players that I'm like tinkering around with at the moment is Oscar Bob in or not. And I've got Eze in or not over Jota. So I'd be doubling up on Salah and Jota. And that's the difference between having Muniz versus having a João Pedro, for example, that 0.5, right? So 0.5 would be, you know, the 0.5 will go to Eze to Jota and then the other way around. So it's like a couple of positions that I'm playing around with. And then maybe like a Mikalenko versus a Munoz or, you know, another player, if I can afford to. But yeah, there's only a few positions that I'm like playing around with at the moment. So I think it's going to come down to, do I get a bit of FOMO around the 5 mil player versus the 5.5, or, you know, is the forward, you know, how valuable is it having Muniz versus João Pedro, that kind of thing. So I'm hoping anyway, that's where I'm going to be influenced. Move on to the next one. So what common mistakes do FPL managers often make right before the season begins, and how can they avoid them? So we touched on a few things around sort of the influx of information and all of that, but what other mistakes have you made, if you have, you know? I'm definitely not perfect, you know, I've made lots of mistakes, you know, before the start of the season, like opening up the app, you know, only a week out. But how about you guys? So Pete, you know, I'll go to you. Common mistakes FPL managers make.
Yeah, it's probably just going back to that topic I touched on earlier, just untested players. So new players coming to the league, they're all bright and shiny, but yeah, we don't know exactly how, you know, they'll fit into the league, because they tend to need time to adjust.
Yeah, agree. Yeah.
Doesn't have to be also new players, just like Premier League proven players move into different clubs. So Solanke, after his move, has now become hot topic, getting my team kind of situation. whereas maybe, I don't know if it's a mistake. I could be making a mistake by not going there, because I want to wait and see what, like, does he end up becoming, because in Bournemouth, he was a talisman. One goal was kind of enough for him to get 3 bonus points. Whereas you're going to a team that has more players who can score, more players who hog bonus points as well, where I'm going, okay, maybe I want to wait and see. Whereas others on the flip side could be going, oh, this is a gift. At 7.5, you're getting Spurs striker playing Leicester, who are pretty bad so far in preseason. So maybe I'm making a mistake by not going there, by taking the opportunity that's given and not going there. Or the mistake could be you're getting a striker who's just moved, and you kind of moving to a big team as well. Because when you move to a big team, there's a lot of competition for places and whatnot. So, I don't know. That could be potentially one mistake. Either I'm making it or someone else is making it. But I won't know until the season starts.
I reckon maybe even looking at the impact, not just on the player that's moved to the club. So everyone's sort of saying Solanke's moved to a big club, but what about the impact on the likes of Son? Like, now he's got a genuine, really good number 9 playing. Does that then open Son up more? And similar to, I guess, when you look at Salah, the way they're set up during the preseason with Shota playing the 9, it looks like it's opened the field up a lot more for the likes of Diaz and Salah as well. So I feel like I get stuck into the thinking that the same as what Ryan said. You see Slinky go to a big club, oh, have to get him in, but then you go, wait a minute, what's the impact on the rest of the team? Is it going to make them better? So yeah, I think that's probably one thing I look at, and maybe just getting stuck in the I'm gonna say the Twitter bowl, where what it's only like 5% of FPL, and you kind of feel like everyone's on this one player, and then you kind of look out and you're like, oh wait, barely anyone's on it. And you know, for Rashford, I feel like me and Ryan are the only people on Twitter that have Rashford, but then I look and he's like almost 6% owned. So I'm like, there's other people been listening to our content, or there's, you know, a lot more people that are keen on Rashford.
That's the Man United tax.
We're just creating bot accounts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are probably the two things that I'm looking at, where maybe looking a bit deeper and saying, what impact will it have on the rest of the assets?
No, I completely agree. And there was a couple of good messages that came up in the chat. So Freddie said, people always mess about with drafts too much. I've done that. Freddie's done that. Bateman Marcus just said, I'm going to ignore more what I hear on YouTube this season. Great. But take this advice, you know, at least what we're sharing today.
Yeah, ignore everything after this podcast.
Basically. I just want to give a bit of a shout out to everyone that's listening as well. There's about 20 of you who have tuned in. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please do hit like as well. Really appreciate it. Hit subscribe if you haven't subscribed already. I will probably be doing a bit of an intro kind of to the season and what this show is about. I didn't really get to do that last season at the beginning of the season, and I kept sort of mentioning it throughout, you know, each stream. But I'll probably do a separate video just to kind of, you know, and also audio for the podcast as well. That way, you know, I can introduce, you know, the show as well. But for those of you that are tuning in for the first time, thank you so much for tuning in. Got a great panel, you know, with me today. We're doing a bunch of pre-planned sort of questions, Q&A. We will be taking questions at the end of this stream as well. There has been a bunch of questions that have been coming through in the chat. I am sort of seeing them and keeping track of them. I'm bringing those questions up, you know, as, you know, if it's related to the question that we're covering. But I will ask you to post those again, you know, towards the end of the stream, and we'll, you know, make sure that we get to those questions as well. So yeah, please do hit like, hit subscribe, and thank you again to this amazing panel and for everyone tuning in as well. So I'll move on to the next question. So, you know, this one is the one thing that I toss up every single time, my instinct and logical analysis, and, you know, this is like the grass and the analytics kind of thing as well. And so I opened up FPL Review for the first time, I think it was yesterday, and only because I was like trying to work out minutes and things like that, where, you know, FPL Review sort of, I think, just kind of grabs what everyone thinks from a minutes point of view and puts it up there. So useful for little things like that. But I've started to use that a little bit less as well in my sort of planning stages, especially. It's a good sort of, you know, way to get a bit of a heat map of, you know, what's going on and minutes and points prediction, that kind of thing, but not necessarily to take it literal as well. So how do you trust your instincts while balancing them with logical analysis? So Pete, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, heading into game week one, you really are relying on your knowledge and what you see. Like, I know Q watches a billion games of football. Ryan never sleeps. So, like, and, you know, I too also watch a lot of football. I've always been more the grass side of my FPL management. I like to make my decisions and own my decisions. Yeah, heading into game week one, it's a lot of what have I seen, what am I reading, rather than what's this review, or you know, what are the analytics telling me I should do? Like, there's plenty of time to do that down the track, and there is definitely room for analytics at this time of the season, because it's handy sort of like rating your team and seeing, you know, the lineup suggestions it'll give you over the next few weeks. But I tend to always base like my first team basically on captaincy and fixtures, because that's all we can go against. It's the fixtures dominate at this time of the season, because we've seen the guys talked about before, like Leicester, they've had a really troubled pre-season. So I'm looking at teams in my squad. Do I have enough players that are going to be coming up against Leicester in the early game weeks, and, you know, using that type of knowledge to dictate things rather than the analytic side of things?
Yeah, I'm kind of similar to Pete. Like Grass FC was the big debating points last season, Grass FC versus the analytics. But, you know, for me this season, you know, I decided to come up with a formula, sort of, that was like I'll call it, you know, formula for the Grass FC fellas, where it's going to be just sort of all the attacking stats from all positions, and then sort of giving them a value based on sort of what position they play, where it then can give you a number. So people that don't have time to watch games will see where people's positioning are or how involved in the attack they are. They can kind of when they listen to our podcast, when I say a number and go, oh, okay, that's actually a decent number compared to, you know, the other fullbacks that he's spoken about. And I'm kind of going to, this season, play my game based on using that formula if it's like a bit of a tossing up between two players type thing. So, you know, I'm going to be using the product. So if it fails, then, you know, I'll be going down off the ship. But I think for me, I watch football from like playing football point of view, not just looking at it going, well, that guy's had 3.5 touches in this area of the field. I'll kind of look at it and go,
yeah, you
know, he's looking really good or stuff like that. So I think you need the best of both worlds, but sometimes I feel like if you go too far either side, it can be a bit of a hindrance. So it's trying to find that balance, but also I'm hoping with this formula to come up with, it's going to help a little bit with the eye test as well. So it's going to mix the best of both worlds, sort of.
Yeah, nice.
I try to be like slightly middle ground in terms of both numbers and eye test. But I've been in situations where I think this was one of my learnings from last season, where to trust your gut more, which is what Rubber Ducky has also mentioned in the chat, where I ended up in situations where you pick a player or you like a player, and but it's just like FOMO gets in and the Twitter bubble gets over you and goes, oh, this is the player that you should go for, and then you don't go for the player that you wanted to go for, that your gut was telling you to go for, and then that player does well, but the player you got in doesn't really do much. And you're like, ah, oh, I wish I'd just, you know, stuck to my guts in terms of like the players that I really wanted. But at the same time, I think it's also like, especially for us here, like for Moshine, we don't get to watch all the games as well, because they're all at absurd times as well, even though Pete says I don't sleep.
I was going to say, Ryan, really?
I know. I'm missing playing Call of Duty, so. But like, yeah, so then you need like a group that you trust as well.
Yeah.
In terms of, could say it's an echo chamber, effectively, but you want a group that you trust, that who also maybe somewhat in similar thinking, somewhat can be also different, just to try and oppose your ideas as well. It's good to always have like different ideas as well, but you need a group that you can trust in terms of decisions that you make. Try and push it to them and tell them, like, find out their feedback and all of that. So yeah, eventually it's a game. Play it how you like to play it. Because if you play it according to how someone else tells you to play it, you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel true. Like you're probably less upset about a decision if you kind of go for your gut. I know a few times last season where I went against my gut, and then it kind of, I was just like disappointed. I'm like, why didn't I just back my gut? And there's times where I backed my gut and it was wrong, and I was like, well, it's all right, because I backed myself. It didn't work out. You know, it is what it is. But yeah, I feel like that kind of comes into it a lot. I think we saw a lot of toxic stuff on Twitter last season, where people were kind of blaming people for telling them to pick something cool. Whereas I feel like you're better off backing your gut. If you're not 100% sure, just go for your gut, and then I feel like you're less disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with that, actually. So last season, I think there was a couple of players that sort of come to mind. So sticking with Gabriel. Actually, I'm not sure how you say his name there, but yeah, I've been using them both. So anyway, I stuck with him, and funny enough, I put him in my draft, you know, at the moment as well. but he could easily become Saliba, but it was my decision to keep him. I could have swapped him out during, you know, my wildcard as well, and taking out Salah as well. That was my decision. And so whilst it was, you know, very annoying that he, you know, kicked off as well. And I think that was a note to myself. So there was a whole bunch of notes that I, you know, sort of jotted down last season. And one of them was, you will feel like it's not worth having Salah, but it's better to just keep Salah, you know, was one of them. And we're seeing that now, right? Like, obviously, with the preseason sort of friendlies as well, everyone's brought Jota in. You know, I even did a draft with Jota recency bias and chucked him in there with Salah. Yeah, you know, that's definitely going to happen, right? Like, there's going to be those instances, but they were my decisions. And so because they were my decisions, I was okay with them. Even with Pickford, like taking out Pickford before his 9-pointer, because he was not keeping a clean sheet, and then off he goes and, you know, goes ahead and collects the most amount of points last season as well. So, but that was my decision, right? to not go back.
It's what Adam from Above Average FPL says, my team, my emotions.
Exactly. Don't judge me for my emotions.
I was on the other side of it, Mira, with I had Saliba from the get-go last season, and so many people getting Gabriel, and I was like, oh, should I just change? Because, you know, everyone's talking about the attacking upside, and, you know, there's a good chance he's going to score. And I was kind of like, Saliba was just amazing the season before, but obviously he had the injury, so I thought, nah, I'll just back myself, Saliba. I'll just, it is what it is. And then, like, I wake up in the morning, there's all this, like, Twitter stuff going on, and people, like, you know, ready to burn Twitter down. And then I realized Gabriel had been benched and Saliba was starting. I was kind of like, oh, well, that's, you know, I was happy. But then people like yourself were just like, I'm just going to back it, go down with the ship. And,
yeah,
you know, unfortunately, the ship sunk in the early hours of Sunday morning. But I just, yeah.
I was in London. I was at a meetup and I remember chatting to Andy, FPL Mode, and he was like, have you seen the Saliba Gabriel news? And I was like, yes, what are we doing about it? And I didn't, you know, I didn't really do anything. And look, to my sort of, in my defense, I was heading to the airport to head back to Sydney. So I was, you know, rushing. And I remember sort of saying to my dad, like 10 minutes before the deadline, I was like, Dad, I know we're chatting, but can we just pause for a moment? And I love you. Thank you for taking me to Heathrow Airport.
I mean, you could blame the airport, blame the airline.
But I was like, can you just give me 5 minutes? I just need to kind of select my team. He's like, what? We'll move on to the next question. There's some really good conversation happening in the chat as well. There's a couple of things there. Like, so Freddie's saying, always play my own game. Regret decisions otherwise. I go 95% on eye test and 5% data. Wow, that's a huge sort of, you know, whereas, yeah, I know, you know, managers who are purely playing data, right? They're playing the data game. I know managers that don't even watch a single match and only look at the data and, interestingly, do really well as well. And good for them. I do miss watching football, so I'm really looking forward to having the Premier League back as well. I'm kind of over the Olympics and the tennis and, yeah. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
I could get some more of that breakdancing, I reckon.
Oh, I was wondering how long we would go. I was thinking.
The other night we're actually recording our podcast, and then the meme that Pete had shared on his page popped up on my timeline as I was doing the pod, and yeah, I said to Pete, we had a bit of a live reaction to it, because I just started laughing and I had to sort of obviously talk about it because I didn't want to have to edit the laughing out, so.
Oh, you know what? So I've had so many friends, not in Australia, send me random things through Instagram, and I'm like, okay, I get it, guys. I know. I'm also half English. It's okay. I'm also a, you know, British citizen as well. So no, I'm not renouncing my Australian citizenship just yet. But bloody hell, it's been so funny, honestly.
I mean, what are we doing after deadline when Rashford misses 100 chances and obviously on the ground just rolling around?
Yeah, man.
Well, we have the Olympics here in, what is it, 2028? So
yeah, there's
God,
plenty.
I hope we see Ray Gun part of the opening ceremony. Just imagine,
flag bearer.
Yeah,
just like a 20-minute solo. Just
yeah. That's the entire opening ceremony, so is just Ray Gun breakdancing.
They've taken out breakdancing from, I think the next Olympics are in LA or something, and they've taken out breakdancing from
We broke it already.
We broke it.
Pretty sure they took it out during the heats.
I don't know what he was doing in the Olympics in the first place.
I really don't know, but I started, obviously, and this is like it's a can of worms, right? So as soon as you open a couple of Instagram posts or tweets and things like that, right, algorithms like, oh, this person really likes to hear about breakdancing. This person really likes to know more about what the Australians are saying about breakdancing. And I'm like, no.
Mate, the memes on my TikTok have found the algorithm, and I reckon for about the solid last 2 days has just been by the memes or just replays, and I'm really trying to get out of the algorithm, so I've just been typing heaps of other stuff to try to get out of it.
He's like, porn.
I'm just like,
change the algorithm.
Cat videos.
Oh my gosh. Moving on to the next question. How important is patience, especially in the early weeks of the season? So we talked about, can we get to 5 transfers to roll? Who's going to be the first to get to the 5 transfers to roll? But yeah, I mean, not just from a transfers front as well, but Ryan, you know, how important is it to be patient during the early parts?
Well, I wish I was when I took Salah out in game week 3.
Hey, I did the same.
even after, like, said, oh, he'll do well. And then I was at the start of the season, 5 points, 5 points. This is not enough. But 12.5 million. And then I took him off and then he goes and that's what he does. I think there was a question as well in terms of, like, from the chat, in terms of, like, how long do you keep certain players? I think the best way to answer is fixtures is king. And as long as I think they have good fixtures and they're getting into good spots, you keep them. But then if it goes like 5-6 game weeks where they're just like not doing anything, then yeah, you probably have to get rid of them.
Yeah,
because that after a point it's like they're just bad at finishing. But then Salah, on the other hand, he's not bad at finishing, he's a elite finisher, so you have data to back that up, history to back it up. But yeah, I think it's just like if they have a good combination of good fixtures, team is doing well, and they are getting into good spots, even though they're not returning, or they're creating and their teammates are just not finishing it, it's okay to kind of keep them for the moment. But if they have a tough run of fixtures, then I think you can swap.
Yeah.
Based off fixtures for me.
I have a bit of PTSD with this from last season, because I kept Rashford and Eze, I think, to about week 7. Just... Eze was the biggest his due player I've seen in FPL in a while, where I think there was games again like 7 shots, 8 shots, 4 chances created. And I'm like, oh, he's about to return, and it just kept nothing. And then it's more just going maybe the 5 games like Ryan said, and then if it's not happening, maybe get off if there's other options. Whereas last season I kind of decided just not to stick it out, and then I missed out on a few other players that went really well. I think it was in Burmo, so I was stuck with Eze and Rashford, and Burmo was just like, I'm like, oh, he can't keep scoring, and it was like 10 points, 15 points, 18 points, and I'm like it was, yeah, quite depressing. But
yeah, agree. Pete, anything more to add?
Yeah, I'll just double down, like, fixtures are king at the start of the season, so like, we're all choosing these players in our drafts for specific reasons, and that's mostly because of the fixtures. And, yeah, if they don't... I mean, it's very rare certain players fire every single game week other than, you know, the Norwegian meat shield. So, yeah, as long as the fixtures are there, I think it's worthwhile, like, staying patient for the early weeks. But at the same time, you could be leaving points on the table by not switching. Like, it's a really fine line between being patient and then, like, just flipping to the hot thing at the moment. But with the amount of transfers we can roll this season, probably patience can play a bigger part for us this season. But like I said, I cannot honestly see myself getting to 5 transfers this season. Like, I had Darwin in my side for 10 game weeks last season.
Oh, my gosh.
And he did nothing. Honestly, it was the worst.
Well, at least you stuck it in. I think Planner got him in and out of his team about 3 times, and I think I heard never again, and then I saw him in his team, and I'm like, don't do it again.
He's on the list. He is.
I think I did it for a free hit. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. I don't think I could. I don't think I could bring him in, you know, this season. Never say never. You know, I'll probably clip this myself if I do it. I did it last couple of seasons a few too many times. And yeah, I just can't. He's definitely hit my never own again list. And I have an actual list for that as well. So yeah, I was a bit more, you know, prepared with that list this time. James was one of them as well. Like, I brought him in and he got a red card, so that happened.
So he's not going to come back again.
Yeah, exactly.
let's just let Reese get on the pitch first, and then we can work out if he's a
go from there.
All bad asset. But I just want to touch on, we had a comment in the chat.
Yeah.
Sigh. Hope I got that right. I can't see. I need glasses and my laptop is really small. But Si was asking me about my thoughts on the Juventus third kick this season. And I want to say, Si, it is a masterpiece, a chef's kiss. So my good friend down the road, his name's Fabian. He's Italian, if you couldn't guess by that name, but a huge Juventus fan. And he's extremely excited. He said he's going to buy me the shirt as well. But
what a friend.
I don't think I could wear a Juventus shirt. But it looks gorgeous. Adidas have killed it this season with their retro trefoil kits. The United one looks amazing too. So I'll just have to stick with the crappy Nike Chelsea shirts that they're producing this season.
I'm at a point where I'm looking at getting a United jersey but getting Meniz on the back just so I can support Meniz, but I don't wear a Fulham shirt.
Oh, brilliant. All right, moving on to the next question. So what have we got? So what's your strategy for using transfers in the opening weeks? I think we covered some of this already, and there was a really good point that was being made in the chat as well. See if I can find it at the same time. So I think someone mentioned about transfers and wildcard. I think Ash maybe earlier asked a question around, does this sort of make a wildcard a little bit pointless? While I find the other sort of question, Q, you know, what's your strategy for using transfers in the opening weeks, especially this time around with the extras that we've got as well?
I'm kind of hoping to save a couple just because obviously you've got the fixture turns for Chelsea, you know, after a tough Man City fixture, and then you've got, you know, Aston Villa as well. So I'm kind of hoping to bank enough transfers where I can not get punished too much, not going like the Chelsea assets and the Villa assets, and then possibly seeing what, you know, what Chelsea going to do. Because I really like Drewsbury Hall, but I don't know whether he's going to start for Chelsea. So I think by about week 3, week 4, I can kind of get a picture of how these teams are going to line up. And then hopefully then I have transfers there and I can bank, you know, start, you know, making a few transfers that way. But obviously, like anything in FPL, there could be 100 injuries in the first game week and that plans out the door. So, yeah, the plan is to bank a few and then obviously look at the fixture run then. But, yeah, who knows what's going to happen.
Same.
Yep.
Yeah, same. I think, yeah, just getting that information, especially once the European competitions start too, because like the Champions League is drastically changed in format this season, so there's more games, and so it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, all the top clubs do with their squads and their key players, especially with all these extra fixtures now.
Yeah,
like Aston Villa as well, will they do a Newcastle in terms of like how Newcastle went into the Champions League, and we're all looking like at the likes of like Ollie Watkins, Morgan Rogers. I know defensively people have kind of cooled off them a bit based on how they've done in preseason, but then again there's the likes of Ian Maddison, Konsa, all of that. So yeah, we kind of had to wait and see, like, do they rotate quite a lot? Unai Emery is a pretty good manager when it comes to Europe as well, so in terms of how he approaches it,
he's good in the Europa League.
We don't know exactly. Yeah, that's true.
But you can't get relegated from the Champions League to the Europa League anymore. I think they've stopped that as well. So
what about the asking for a friend whose team's in the Conference League? What about the Conference League?
It's fine, you have enough depth.
Yeah, you do. Jeez.
Fifth squad.
Yeah, and Ashley, so FPL Crisis, just asked, are we going to rely on our bench more this season, even if it's likely just appearance points with the added incentive to roll more transfers?
Yeah, definitely. That's one thing I'm definitely changed in my setup heading into this game week one to previous years, just having that squad depth. I've been, over the years, I've been so focused on trying to get as much money into the 11 that the rest of my squad hasn't been there, and then every week there's an injury, there's someone being rested, and it just then that leads to transfer. So having that balance with more options, I think it's fine to have like one player in your squad that you're just not going to play just for enabling purposes, but yeah, you don't want to have to be making transfers every week just to get out 11.
Yeah, agree. absolutely. All right, we're heading towards the last few couple of questions that we had left. So what's the one piece of advice you'd give to every FPL manager just before the season starts to ensure they enjoy the experience?
Play it your way.
Yeah. I like it.
I've taken that from someone.
That's trademarked Planet FPL.
Planet FPL, James, yeah.
I was thinking more like a Nike shoe ad or something where at the end of it is the first of the D-boy scene, play it your way.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, I tend to say on my deadline streams, what does your gut tell you?
Mm.
Go with what your gut tells you. Because like if it's a 50-50 decision, I can suggest a player, but end of the day, it's like, what do you want to get from it? And who do you want to have in your team?
Yeah. Yeah. Cute.
I reckon probably one bit of advice is just if you've been set on something all week, don't get stuck in the Twitter hype or the Twitter bowl and then start second guessing it. Like there's a reason why you're excited to make that move during the week. Kind of just the back it, because I feel like you're going to be really disappointed if you don't. And then that person that you're really looking at all week and you'd planned goes off, and then the person, you know, you brought in because someone else talked you into something else, then yeah, I feel like it's more enjoyable when you do the work and you, I guess the research and find a player that is lowly owned and you go, oh, I'm definitely getting him in when the fixtures turn, and then change your mind. I feel like you just need to back yourself a little bit in those situations. So I think that's probably the advice that I give people.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Pete? Yeah, I'll add, just have fun. Like it's a game. The top three get prizes in the world. And we've been lucky that we've had some managers here in Melbourne that have finished pretty high the last few seasons. And talking to FPL Echidna, who finished third a few seasons ago, he didn't even get his copy of, you know, EA Sports or what is it, FIFA, his copy of FIFA. It took him like 6 months to track down. So the prizes aren't that great, but
it's not about that, is it?
yeah. It's all just have fun with it. And I mean, everyone plays the game so differently. I always like to have players in games I'm going to watch. So especially here in Australia, we always have, when the season starts, the early game for us is at like 9:30 p.m. And because I'm always watching that game, I always really like to have an asset in that type of game because it just makes it a little bit more enjoyable. But, you know, everyone plays the game different, and don't get too caught up because it's completely out of your hands. It is. You know, we can plan, we can look at fixtures, we can, you know, work out our transfers for the next 10 game weeks, and then your player could just get injured in the warm-up and miss the game. So it's just out of your hands sometimes.
Yeah, I have to agree. I started playing FPL, this will be my this is my fourth season. Jeez. It's my fourth season playing. And I started playing just after the Euros in 2021. And it's been a lot of fun, honestly. I think it was the leagues. It was the, you know, the family league that I was part of, and just, you know, focusing on that, beating, you know, my brother-in-law who had been playing for more than 10 years. And that was that. That's where the joy was, right? It was sort of, you know, the mini leagues and playing against a couple of people and just trying to kind of, you know, try it out, have fun with it. And yeah, my first season was decent. I thought I, you know, did all right. And I wasn't really thinking about the rank, you know, side of things as much. My second season, I did a lot better, but I still had fun. I think every step of the way, I was having fun with it. And even last season, having a terrible start to the season, I also started, funny enough, this show. And so, you know, what I wanted to do was share my journey through the highs and lows. So my second season, I had a 2.5K rank overall, which was great. And so I was like, oh, you know, maybe I can try and aim for like 100K and then see if I can just better it each time, just managing my expectations. And but last season, I didn't have the good start to the season that I did in the season before. And so I was like, crap, okay, well, everything's just going to go to shits. I'm not going to have fun with this. But I think doing the show meant I was able to have a laugh about it, just, you know, have some banter, have, you know, chats with you guys, you know. So Q, you know, first time for you being on my show. Thank you so much for being here. But Ryan, you know, I've had you on a few times, Pete, as well. It's great to have you back on as well. But it's really nice to have the conversation with other people about it. And, you know, our community in Australia is fantastic as well. I really appreciate the group chats that we have as well. And the Twitter communities, brilliant as well, you know. And it sort of should be lightening it up a little bit, like through the banter and the conversations. And completely agree about having players in your team when you're watching the games as well. Like sometimes I can only stay up to watch one game, and you know, sometimes I wake up in the morning for an early, you know, early game or something like that. But yeah, having those players and having fun with it is such an important thing. And I think our last question was very much around that as well. So yeah, you know, that's pretty much all the questions that we had. And yeah, we can take some questions in the chat as well. I think there was a couple of people that had a bunch of questions around teams. So encouraging you to, you know, just kind of repost those team specific sort of questions as well. Yeah, I guess to end with, yeah, how are you, where are you placed, like all of you with your teams right now? So Ryan, you've been tinkering away, you've done quite a few drafts. Where are you at? Are you almost locked in?
Almost. It's just like that Rashford spot. Then I've got the, I think I'll stay with Lewis Hall, but I got Lewis Hall and Kwanzaa as well. So I'm like, ooh, how can I fit Jota in? I could probably look at either removing Hall or Kwanzaa, downgrading them to like a Barco or a Ben Johnson or something like that, and then upgrading Rashford to a Jota. So like just like tiny, those three players that I'm kind of looking like how to actually do this. Or do I even go down to just keep Rashford and maybe downgrade one of my 4.5 defenders to a 4.0 and upgrade Rodgers to a Smith-Rowe as well. So it's just those couple spots, but most of the core of the rest of the team is kind of like set.
Yeah, nice. Pete, how are you going?
Yeah, I'm fairly close to as locked in as I can be. I mentioned before, I've got an Ollie Watkins dilemma. He's definitely a player I want. Whether or not I start with him game week one now, it's going to be sort of checking information. But part of my thinking is maybe I'll start with Havertz instead, but keep the cash. And so because we're all going to be flocking to Villa assets once we get to game week three when they're playing Leicester. So yeah, that's just one decision I've got to make. But overall, pretty happy.
Nice. Q?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty similar. I think the only spots that are sort of up for grabs in my team is I got Onana in goals from United, obviously. I think I've had about six DMs the last probably day of people saying, are you sure you want to do that?
And yeah.
I can understand the opinions of Onana, but, you know, looking at the save points, I really hate the goalkeeper position. It's a horrible position, but I'm kind of looking at it as, you know, the floor of save points. Because United is like the perfect defense for save points, because it's good enough where you get the odd clean sheets, but it's also pretty bad that they're going to allow a lot of shots. So I feel like, you know, it's a 50-50 there. But, you know, I've got Jacob Murphy similar to Ryan, but, you know, I'm possibly looking at maybe moving to Kamada from Crystal Palace just from how he's looked in the preseason. But, you know, that's another 50-50 decision. And then I've got, you know, Rashford. I can drop points out of my goalkeeper and then upgrade him to like a Bruno.
Yeah.
And then also you've got Garnacho, who come back, who looked fabulous when he come off the bench. So, yeah, I'm not fully set, but I'm going to kind of use that Jacob Murphy spot as like a floating 5.5 spot. So when Minte's fixtures become good, it might be Minte or... You know, I don't mind the look of Sade from Brentford as well. So, yeah, I feel like most of it's set. There's probably maybe three spots that are kind of up for grabs at the moment.
Yeah. I'm curious, do any of you have, like, Palmer in the team? Obviously, Palmer was priced so low. We obviously didn't know that he was going to move over to Chelsea from City. And but he's up at, what, 10 mil? 10.5? 10.5. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It makes sense because of how outstanding he was last year. But then also, if you compare him and Watkins, you'd really argue that Watkins probably should be about 10, 10.5 based on last season. So for me, if it was the opposite, if Palmer was 9 million, I think he's a lot more attractive. But then you've kind of then got to choose between, do you want Son? Do you want, you know, Salah and another half premium? So around that 8.5, 9 million. So I feel like it's the way your team's set up at the moment, you're probably not wanting to go there. But then again, I was speaking to someone today about Watkins up top there. Are you going to have to go without Isak to get Watkins in, or are you going to have to drop Haaland to get Watkins in? And then that opens up, I guess, a, you know, a chance to go for a Palmer. So I feel like there's just so many moving pieces to sort of fit him in.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like, yeah, that those first couple of game weeks and seeing who goes nuts and explodes, and it's going to be, yeah, definitely going to be interesting. There was a question earlier as well around KDB. But, I mean, KDB and Foden for the first time are priced the same. And, yeah, that's, yeah. Are we considering any of the two at all in our drafts?
KDB, prefer Foden.
Yeah, but
once he's up and running.
Yes, that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts on Mavidi from Leicester City, in terms of looking at what he did last season and that transitioning to the Premier League?
He's 5'5", isn't he?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, around that price, I don't think many of us are going to be having more than one or two of those options. And I think, I don't know, I'm really concerned about Leicester this season. I think they're a hard avoid at the moment.
Yeah, that's the one reason.
Yeah. We'll take a couple of questions in the chat. So there's one from Marcus, so FPL Bateman. What do you guys think about triple Arsenal defence before game week 4 wildcard?
No. Not with Poro and their fixtures, Newcastle and their fixtures. And I'd say is City's fixtures are still pretty good then as well, isn't it? So you've probably got people with Vardiol as well. So, yeah, I reckon this is probably the first time this season where they're not going to be hyped up as much, because there's a lot of options with decent fixtures at the same sort of period.
Triple defence on any team is like really gutsy. So like, if you do it, Bateman, all fair play to you, because if it comes off, it's going to be amazing. But yeah, knowing my luck, if I did it, there'd be like a 98th minute equalizer and I would just be on the floor.
Yeah, I'd be too nervous. I'd be really nervous about that.
They could be winning like 3-0 and then 3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing your luck, Peter, be like 105 minutes, they'd add on 15 minutes extra time.
Exactly.
Yeah. But they're priced a lot higher as well, right? Like, yep. They're 6 mil, yeah. 6.5 mil for White as well. So, yeah.
It's a lot of money in your defense if you're going triple Arsenal, because, yeah, they're basically all 6. And also, besides like Saliba and White, like the others aren't exactly locked in here. Like, Calafiori could, you know, make his way into that side in a couple game weeks. And, you know, Julian Timber's back as well. So, yeah, it's a bit of a risk, I think, other than Raya and Saliba.
Yeah.
And he's Kieran Tierney, just, you know, just filthy. He's not going to get run ever.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
The Irish Reece James.
The Irish Reece James.
Mashed potato hamstrings.
I think they see the same doctor, to be fair. On Twitter, Wan-Bissaka's just signed for West Ham officially.
Ah, okay.
And he might, is he 4.0? 4.5.
4.5. Not going there until like game week 10 or something.
Yeah, the fixtures are not great. Yeah.
I'm waiting for a message from Damo to say that he's already on.
Damo's already got him in his side.
Of course. Actually, how much does like your own team bias kind of kick in? Obviously, Q, we know you've got Onana goal.
I like to look at it as a bit of a kink, getting United assets in, you know, just the thrill before kickoff, and then the
disappointment.
Fulham, yeah, Moniz, yeah. I followed you last year on that.
Yeah, no, for my, you know, as a lot of our listeners inboxed me last season that I was a closet Spurs fan. So, you know, times are good for being a closet Spurs fan last season. But, you know, being United, it was quite frustrating because you kind of, I guess, have a bit of a soft spot and you want to back the players. But, yeah, I'm going to be in the same predicament this season as well. I always say I'll never do it again. But here we are. I've got two Man United assets in my side at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a question around Nkuku on pens. I think Palmer would still be on pens. I don't know. Like, where, yeah.
Maresca confirmed that Palmer is the number one penalty taker. The only issue is if Noni Madueke is on the pitch because he is.
Even oh, yeah.
In the preseason game, he tried to take a penalty off Nkuku.
Yeah.
And it was just like, guys,
what are you doing?
So many times.
Yeah.
You've got to respect him for being consistent, though.
Oh, yeah.
He,
totes.
He must have Ivan Tony. Match fixing gambling happening somewhere.
Something's happening there. Yeah.
Ice in his veins. He just wants to prove everyone.
No, but yeah, Palmer is on the pens.
Yeah.
Where is Madueke, his situation? Because he's been so good preseason, but then you're looking at will he actually play?
He's always very exciting when he plays, but yeah, just. I mean, especially now that the club's linked with João Felix as well, there's another wide player possibly coming. Like, Todd Bowley loves wide players and goalkeepers, so watch this space.
They'll be starting rumors in the change room to get, like, players to leave the club so they can fit more players in.
That's what's going... Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
Well, Graham Potter had this very...
Your locker, you're going to have to leave, mate. And then he leaves, and then next minute they just change the sticker.
Start some rumors.
Graham Potter had this very issue when he was there. There was... a lot of players at the time and a few of them were getting changed out in the hallway. So
there's a question from Freddie around best 5.5 midfielder predicted points game week 1-6 is less 1% owned. Yeah, so this is Brereton Diaz.
The Chilean.
I'm going to say Kamada from Crystal Palace. He's giving me very good vibes. He's actually been playing the Eze role, and then I feel that might push Eze into the Elise role start the season, which could be quite valuable.
Yep. Minta keeps coming up as well.
He's outstanding. He's such a good player.
Looks really good from highlights and whatnot.
Yep.
Yeah. Another double attacking return in his recent preseason fixture, I believe.
Their fixtures turn maybe week 4, week 5, I think, Brighton.
Yeah.
Looks like there's another transfer rumour related to...
I know, I just saw that and I'm ignoring it. I'm choosing to ignore it right now. As a Liverpool supporter, yeah, there's been there's breaking news. I might just pop that up as well. Luis Diaz could be heading for City.
I wonder what
I'm not going to react. Don't react. Don't react.
Nunez is jumping with excitement.
They have Gakpo. I think the next Gakpo, like a better FPL option. I would say.
That's true, actually. Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Oh no, I don't want to think about this right now. No, not happening. Not yet.
What are your thoughts on Carvalho going to Brentford from Liverpool?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't know if we'll be going there just yet, but
not. I think he's a good player. I don't know. I feel like I could have a rant about Liverpool and, you know, sort of lack of movement, and it's too soon. Like, I'm still sort of, you know, hearing about the news about, like, not securing a number 6 again. We've got like a Aussie Liverpool only sort of group chat where we're just putting shit in there and complaining and ranting and moaning. I'm sure you guys have your own sort of respective, you know, team ones as well. I might have to do a stream or something with a bit of a Liverpool sort of, you know, conversation. But yeah, it's just been really frustrating. But yeah, I mean, he's such a good player, so to lose him, you know, to Brentford is not great, but yeah, let's see. I'm not feeling great about the lack of movement that we've had at the moment. Yeah, it's tough to watch that. But it was the same again last season as well. So not sure. I'm just, you know, sitting tight and hoping that slot sort of, you know, slots in well and starts to sort of, making a difference. Yeah. Maybe with the players that he has. It does mean that, you know, some of the existing players that we've got get a shoe in, and it's not great for morale and confidence, you know, with how they've been going about their transfer sort of business. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens as the season starts.
And speaking of 5.5 midfielders, there's one at Wolves called Rodrigo Gomez. He looked outstanding on his debut. I think he got a hat-trick on his first preseason game for the club.
Mm.
Rodrigo Gomez sounds like the most Wolves player ever.
I mean, he's from Australia, so
he's not Portuguese.
Maybe he could break dance for us.
Yeah, actually, that brings up another issue there, Pete. Neto to
yeah, really, really like it. The only question is, he does get a lot of injuries. Whether or not he's been bought in for that moral support in the physio rooms for Reece James, we'll have to wait and see. But I am excited by the signing. Hopefully he can get out on the pitch sooner rather than later.
Too good. There's a couple more. We'll take a couple more and then we'll probably call it. We're way over an hour and a half, and it's always great chatting to you guys. And we could probably go on longer, but probably shouldn't as well. Aditya is asking question around thoughts on Trent. Is he in your teams? Not in my team. I did do a draft. I love Trent. He's great. He's a great player. Would love to see how he plays under Arne Slot. So yeah, I think a bit of wait and watch. I got Konsa in my team though at the moment, just to sort of capitalize on the Liverpool sort of defense and hope for the best. We're not very good with keeping clean sheets, so you know, let's see what happens there. But Trent, yeah, he's just got so much potential every season after season. This is probably the cheapest I've seen him, at least in the time that I've been playing as well. Is he in your teams? Any of your teams? Probably not.
Yeah, he's in mine. He's part of the non Salah starter pack. So I've got Jota and Trent Alexander-Arnold. And, you know, as I said, my fantasy attacking upside formula has Trent as the number two ranked attacking upside for a defender this season. So I'm fully invested. I'm backing it.
Nice. Love it. Yep. Got a question. So G10UV, can everyone tell us which is the best formation this season and which one will win? Yeah, that's a really tough question. I'm currently sitting...
the mullet strategy.
The mullet strategy. That's the most Aussie thing I've heard today.
Mate, actually. Fitness up front and party in the back.
I'm currently 3-4-3 at the moment.
Yeah, I
think
3-4-3.
Yeah,
some good forwards. Yeah,
I really hope that chip is the call it the Roman goalkeeper chip, where you can just take your goalkeeper off and add another player as well.
That'd be nice. Yes, or no defense at all.
We'll have to wait and see, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's the next problem.
I feel like defense has probably been less valuable since they've started adding on 15 minutes at the end of every game.
Yeah. Everyone's so tired. You can see it. You know, anyway.
This reminds me of the game we played the other week. We're beating this team 7-0 and there was like 10 minutes to go and he goes, can we just call it quits? And I'm like, no, you just have to stay out of the field for the rest of the game.
Brilliant. Look, we'll sort of call it there. Thank you to everyone that tuned in. Please do hit like and subscribe if you haven't sort of, you know, subscribed already. Last season, I had a whole bunch of guests. It was really great to sort of bring guests on from all over the world. Yeah, honestly, my pleasure sort of having some fantastic conversations with a whole bunch of people. same plan for this season as well. Some interesting conversations today. We did some Q&A around, you know, how to get started. Well, not necessarily how to get started, but how to, in my case, it was to get started. But how do you sort of deal with the hustle of starting the season and game week one and some of the, you know, the tough decisions that we're going to need to make as we approach the start of the season? As mentioned earlier, if you tuned in earlier, this is going to be in podcast format as well. I had quite a few people sort of ask for that format. So, yeah, I'm going to try that out for the first time. Hopefully it'll be easier. I've got, you know, three amazing panel guests today who all do amazing content as well. So I'm going to, you know, just throw to all of you to give a bit of a shout out to you, to your own content as well. So, Q, over to you.
Yeah, we've done our four team preview podcast episodes, so there's five teams per episode. And then tomorrow night I'll have one of our members from our FPL community that he finished, I think, 80th in the world. So he's coming on for our week one preview podcast tomorrow with me and our new addition to our podcast, Simon. So we're just going to pick his brain about where he's at for, you know, this season heading into deadline. And, yeah, that should be out, I'd say, late Wednesday night Australia time, which would probably be morning time in England.
Yep. Awesome. And Ryan, over to you.
So YouTube Football Chatbox, and obviously you can find me on Spotify as well if you want it in audio format or anywhere else in your audio platforms. But yeah, that's basically it, mainly YouTube.
Nice. And Pete, one of my favorite podcasts. Sorry, Key. Yours too. Yours too.
It's all of us.
Bit seasoned for the podcast, actually. So, yeah, FPL SideNet podcast. Yeah, myself, my co-host Andrew, two guys who love talking about a game within a game. So hopefully a lot of laughs along the way. We laugh if we had a great week. We laugh probably even more when we have bad weeks. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I love it. I look forward to your Goodwill puntings and all the puns around the movies as well. So, yeah, I try and sort of look to you guys for inspo for some of my titles on my thumbnails as well. So not today's title, but, you know, upcoming ones as well. So, yeah, thanks, guys. So, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate all your insights and tips and advice along the way. I've taken a few notes, you know, along the way as well. So this is going to help me with my last minute planning and the hustle to try and sort of put out a good team for game week one. So look, good luck to everyone. Please tune in for the next one. Hopefully I'll be a little bit more organized. I mean, it is off the cuff. It is literally unprepared. And half the time I'm making shit up as I go. So if you fancy a bit of a rambly sort of conversation, sometimes I'm doing it entirely solo. Sometimes there's a guest on as well. But yeah, if you want a slightly different sort of perspective to FPL, then yeah, please do tune in for the next one. So thanks again, guys. Take it easy. Have a great game week one and good luck with all the FPL planning that you're doing. See ya. Bye.